Let's continue by reading verses 11 through 18 of John 20. In these verses, we have the Lord's appearance to Mary Magdalene after his resurrection. John 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Once again, let's consider a few background notes here. After Peter and John return to where they are staying in Jerusalem, Mary lingers at the empty tomb. As she looked into the inner chamber of the tomb, she saw two angels sitting on the shelf or niche in the rock wall of the tomb where the body of the Lord had been. Now, from Luke's account, we know that these two angels appeared as men. They were not glowing with radiant light, and they didn't have wings and halos. They appeared as men. In Matthew and Mark's account, we read of one angel. Now, Matthew and Mark don't say there was only one angel. There were two angels. But Matthew and Mark focus on the one angel who probably was the leading spokesman, or shall we say, leading spokesangel. Now, when Mary turns around, she saw the Lord standing outside the tomb. But Mary did not know that it was the Lord at first. She thought this man was the gardener. In other words, the Lord did not appear in dazzling white apparel or with a halo, but in ordinary clothes, probably not white. So much so that Mary mistook him as the gardener. Now, this was not the Lord's appearance in all his post-resurrection appearances. Certainly not the way he appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road. Notice in verse 15 that Mary still does not believe that the explanation for the empty tomb is a resurrection. She says to the Lord, thinking he's the gardener, there in verse 15, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." She believes that Joseph of Arimathea has given permission to the gardener to move the body to a different location. And she wants to make sure the Lord is buried properly. But then we see that Mary recognized the Lord when he called her by name. In verse 16, we read, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Rabboni is a strengthened form of rabbi. Mary is essentially saying, "My great teacher." Notice, by the way, as far as a background note goes, that John adds, which is to say, teacher. In other words, John certainly is writing to a much larger audience than just Jewish people. Such a statement, which is translated, or which is to say, teacher, would not have to be added if John was only writing to a Jewish audience, only speaking to Jewish people. Well, so much for background notes. Now, a couple of doctrinal points from these verses in John chapter 20. Doctrinal point number one, the resurrection of Christ involves new relationships. The resurrection of Christ involves new relationships. In verse 17, we read, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, what does the Lord mean by this? Do not cling to me. Read the commentaries and you'll find a lot of different views on this. Now, Mary is probably not hugging the Lord, but holding on to his feet as she worships him. And the idea in stop clinging to me is probably not don't touch me, because after all, in verse 27 of this chapter, the Lord invites Thomas to touch him. And the idea in stop clinging to me is probably not stop holding me back from ascending to heaven. Possibly the meaning is, Mary, you don't have to cling to me. My ascension is not yet. You'll see me again before my ascension. Or possibly the meaning is, Mary, you don't have to cling to me. This is not the return that I predicted. I'm not here to stay. I haven't even ascended to my Father yet. Now, that might be the idea. I believe the main idea in Mary, stop clinging to me, is the idea of new relationships. That is, Mary, stop clinging to me. Things are different now. Relationships are not the same as they were before the resurrection. I will not be here anymore bodily. I'll be ascending to heaven. The Holy Spirit will be sent to comfort and guide and teach. And then look at verse 17 to see further new relationships. Go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Go to my brethren. In John 15, the Lord referred to his own as friends. Now he's referring to them as my brethren. What a great new relationship. Brethren of Christ. You know, that's your position here today, if you're here as a believer. We are his brethren. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And then further, notice the Lord says, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Notice he does not say, I ascend to our Father and our God. In the new relationships, even though we are brethren with Christ, brethren of Christ, there still is a distinction between his relationship to the Father as Son and our relationship as believers. The resurrection of Christ involves new relationships. Doctrinal point number two, the resurrection of Christ involves new responsibilities. The resurrection of Christ involves new responsibilities. Mary had the great privilege of being the first one to see our risen Lord. But now she has a responsibility. She is to go and tell. And in verse 18, we see that she obeyed. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. She had a responsibility now to go and tell of the resurrection. And she obeyed. The resurrection of Christ involves new responsibilities. We too, like Mary, have new responsibilities as Christians. We have a responsibility to tell others about the living Christ. Belief in the resurrection is essential to salvation. We got a scripture for that? Certainly. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Belief in the resurrection of Christ is essential for salvation. We have a responsibility to preach that. Are you fulfilling your responsibility? Am I fulfilling my responsibility? The resurrection of Christ involves new responsibilities. You know, I remember when we lived in Pittsburgh, there was a large church right alongside one of the major highways through the heart of the city. And on the roof of this church, where everybody could see it in big, bold, white letters, was the statement, Jesus is alive. You could not miss it. That church was certainly fulfilling its responsibility. Are we? Now, I'm not suggesting you put a sign on your roof here, but let's take it personally. Are we going to tell someone about the resurrection this week? The resurrection of Christ involves new responsibilities. Let me just give one practical application from this section. Your sorrow can be turned to joy. Your sorrow can be turned to joy. In verse 11, Mary is weeping. And the word that's used here could be translated wailing. It's a loud expression of grief. But Mary's sorrow is turned to joy when she hears her name from the Lord, Mary. The Lord calls his own by name. John 10, verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name. What made the difference between Mary weeping in sorrow and Mary responding in joy? The resurrection of Christ. That made all the difference. The resurrection of Christ makes the difference. Your sorrow can be turned to joy. Is it possible you have sorrow in your life right now? Well, your sorrow can be turned to joy. If you're here as a non-believer, your sorrow can be turned to joy this very day as you commit your life to Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Your sorrow can be turned to joy. Maybe you're here this morning as a believer and you're going through some hard times right now. Your sorrow can be turned to joy too as you appreciate the reality of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus is alive and he cares for you and he's preparing a place for you and he's coming back for you. Your sorrow can be turned to joy. You know, just last Sunday, I was speaking in a church where there was a Christian family who had just lost their teenage daughter in a tragic car accident. Shauna Elford was a Christian teenager who was always reaching out to help others. And she had stopped alongside the road to help a motorist who had gotten into a small accident. And as she crossed the road, she was hit head on and was knocked into unconsciousness. She was in a coma for 9 days. She went to be with the Lord last weekend. And last Sunday morning, the parents and family of Shauna Elford were in that church where I was speaking. I can't begin to tell you what an encouragement her folks and family were because of their strength in Christ. Yes, of course there were tears, sorrow, but their sorrow was not like the sorrow of those who have no hope. What made the difference? The resurrection of Christ. They know that Shauna is alive today in heaven with the Lord himself. They know that they will see Shauna again. This is no wishful thinking, folks. It's fact because of the resurrection of Christ. He conquered death. The Lord Jesus is alive today. Therefore, your sorrow can be turned to joy.